Success isn't guaranteed. It's earned through unwavering commitment. The only ones who make it to the top are those willing to go the extra mile. Get ahead with WSJ Plus, offering insights from the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, MarketWatch, and Investor's Business Daily. Because fortune favors the ambitious.
Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, yes, they did it. The New York Liberty wins the WNBA championship. So we will chop it up. We'll talk about each game and what's in the future for both teams. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we have reached the end of the WNBA season. The crown has been given, and it's going to the New York Liberty, proudly to say. And of course, you know, I'm representing today big time with my Liberty gear. So you already know what it is. So without any further delay, we're going to get right into it. It was a grueling series, guys. I had made my prediction. I had said four games, but of course it got stretched to five because game one, the Liberty kind of gave it away there when they, well, I'll talk about game one in a minute. But yeah, so I thought it was four, but when you squander a game and let the other team back in, then you end up with a five-game series. And it was a tough series. I'm not going to lie, guys. It was a very tough series. But in the end, we all know what happens. The New York Liberty prevails. So without any further delay, let's get into it. I'll chop up each game, and then we'll let it go from there. So game one out there in Barclay, and that game was on a Thursday night, I want to say. Yeah, Thursday evening in Barclay. And that game, which was, and from what I was listening to, because I was unable to actually watch the game per se, but what I kind of listened in the car and all those sort of things, but I got home to see the fourth quarter and I just saw them squander the lead, man. And then come to find out they were up as much as 18 in the first quarter. I was like, what? And then they were up 15 with 5 minutes to play. So you figure it's kind of in the bag if you hold your own. Then they were up only by 11 with 3 minutes and 23 seconds left. So I was like, okay, make some baskets here and there, and we could go home with this victory. That didn't happen. The Minnesota Lynx came roaring back, and then with 0.8 seconds left, Stewie is fouled. She goes to the free throw line, hits the first one, and then misses the second. So that right there costs you the ball game. And thus, it goes into overtime. And in overtime, the Lynx carry that dominance right into overtime, very confident. And when all is said and done, they get the victory, 95-93. And in that game, you saw, and actually, that deficit that Minnesota overcame actually ties the record with the most points being down and you get the victory. The New York Liberty actually did that in 1999. And that was actually, I believe it was the game where Teresa Weatherspoon hoisted that long three. I believe that was that game because Houston was set to for all the confetti to come down, and she just rained. Teaspoon just rained on everybody's parade with that. So, all right. But any event, Courtney Williams, 23 points, including that huge four-point play with 5.5 seconds left. I saw that. I could not believe she got fouled on that, but she did. And along with the 23 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, Kayla McBride, 22 points for her. She dropped 4 threes in that game with 4 assists. And Nafisia Collier, what more can you say about her? 21 points, 8 rebounds, 6 block shots, guys, and 3 steals. So you talk about being on the defensive end. She was that. So that led the way for the Lynx. And then on the Liberty side, Jonquel Jones leads them in scoring, guys. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. Sabrina Ionescu didn't shoot it all that great, guys. She did get 19 points, though, with 5 rebounds, 4 steals, and 3 assists. And then Stewie, she didn't shoot it all that great either. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 block shots. And then what more can I say about this rookie? Leonie Fiebisch, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists for them. And the difference in this one, guys, field goal percentage. The Lynx shot at 50.7% from the field, and the Liberty just 37.8%. So that's your disparity right there, guys. And then also from three, Minnesota, 40.9, so basically 41% from three, whereas the Liberty, a little above 39% from three. And points in the paint, Minnesota takes that 42-36. So your game one goes to Minnesota. They come in and they steal one in Barclay. Game two, a game I attended, guys, and the place was absolutely electric. It was pandemonium inside there. And in that game, the Liberty would prevail 80-66. It's a game where they pretty much jumped to the lead up to 10 in the first quarter, maintained that, and built upon it in the fourth quarter. They basically led from pillar to post. So the Liberty, in a much, in fact, the only dominating game they had, they get the victory here, the 14-point victory. In that game, Breonna Stewart, a little bit better, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals in that one, guys. And then you get a vintage performance from Banaji Laney-Hamilton, 20 points for her in that one. Yeah, that was like a throwback to the old days for Banaji Laney-Hamilton. And then Sabrina, 15 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 2 steals. And then Jonquel doing Jonquel things, 14 points with 9 rebounds and 3 steals for the Liberty. For the Lynx, Nafisia Collier, that woman again, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 4 steals, 3 assists, 7 turnovers, guys. I mean, she looked bad in that game. They just frustrated her all night long in game two. Courtney Williams, 15 points for her, 5 assists, 6 rebounds. Alana Smith, she added 14 points. And Kayla McBride, this was her only bad game. Just 8 points, 2 of 9 shooting from the field. I mean, they just bottled her up in game two. The difference, guys, field goal percentage again. The Liberty shot it much better, 47.5%, whereas the Minnesota Lynx, 45%. And then from three, the Liberty much better at 45.8%, and the Minnesota Lynx only 30%. So that's pretty much a difference right there, the three-point goal disparity. Liberty had 11, Minnesota only 6. So there it is right there in a nutshell. So that's your game two, guys. Let us move to game three. Game three. Now, this one was out in Minnesota now. So you're out there. And that game, it was kind of like the reverse of game one. The Liberty were down as much as 15 in this one. But they rallied back. And then it took a Sabrina logo three that iced the game. And it's kind of reminiscent of the shot I just talked about. Teaspoon's desperate heave against the Houston Comets that went in. And although in the post game, she says she practiced that shot all the time. You know, it's like in her repertoire. So, but Sabrina hits a huge shot. And in the post game, she says, you know, it's a huge shot and everything, but it doesn't mean it a bit of anything, to be honest, unless we get the victory, as in winning the whole thing. So, but it was a huge shot. In this game, Stewie goes absolutely nuts. 30 points for her, 22 of them in the second half. So she explodes in the second half. And boy, did they need it. She was part of that rally back. Add to that 11 rebounds, 4 block shots. So she was a monster there. And then you got 13 apiece from Jonquel Jones, Leone Feebish, and Sabrina Nescu, including the huge three-pointer that sealed the game. On the Lynx side, Nafisha Collier, 22 points for her, 9 rebounds, 5 steals. Played much better at home, guys. Kaylin McBride also played better at home, 19 points for her. Bridget Carlton, she made an appearance, 14 points for her, very efficient. And Courtney Williams, 12 points with 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and 2 steals. The big difference here, again, field goal percentage, guys. Almost 46% for the Liberty and nearly 39% for the Lynx. So, yeah, not good, guys. And then from three-point range, the Liberty, 10 of 25, whereas the Minnesota Lynx, 9 of 21. And that's your difference right there, the logo three by Sabrina. So the Liberty now up 2-1 with a chance to end things on Minnesota's floor. Game four, that wasn't to be, guys. It was a nip and tuck one, though. Nip and tuck, the largest lead by any of the teams here was 6, and that was the Minnesota Lynx up by 6. Liberty led by as much as 5, but it was very close, guys. In a game that I watched the whole thing. Actually, I watched all of game three as well. And in the end, it was one of those calls down the stretch, guys. Sabrina fouls Bridget Carlton with 2 seconds left in the game. And she sinks them, and not leaving much time for the Liberty to do anything. And there you go. The final score, 82-80. And then this game, guys, as far as the field goals, pretty close, 44.6% for Minnesota, 43.7% for Liberty. Both teams shot the same from three, guys. 9 for 23, so that's a little above 39%. But here's the difference in the game, guys. The fouls. Liberty would call for 14, and the Minnesota Lynx only 9. So that's your difference there. And the disparity from the free throw line. Minnesota went 20 times to the line. The Liberty only 9 times. And Minnesota made 15 of theirs. And the Liberty made all of their free throws. So that's your difference right there in a nutshell, guys. And at the post-game press conference, Liberty coach Sandy Brondello said, because she was asked about the foul calling, she just said, let's be fair about things, guys. And keep that in mind while I'm talking about the fouls and the free throw percentage and what coaches said at the end. Bear that in mind as I discuss game 5. So we're tied at 2 games apiece. And then, of course, you know, when the Minnesota Lynx win on their home court, they break out the electric slide, guys, and they did that right on the floor there. So we reached the apex, game 5, that took place this past Sunday in a game that I was unable to watch. I was at a podcast festival, guys, so I was unable to, and I wanted to be in that building so bad, guys. Oh, but, you know, duty prevails. I was at a podcast festival, which I enjoyed. So I had to watch the game on the phone, which I did. And then this game, guys, in fact, I actually got home to catch the very end of it. So, game 5. And this one, the Liberty was down by as many as 12 in the first half in this one, guys. And then in that second half, it was back and forth, back and forth. And then you have a foul at the end. Foul, Alana Smith fouls Stewie. And, you know, they did the replay, so on and so forth, and they let it stand. So Stewie goes to the line, and unlike game 5, unlike game 1, in game 5, she knocks down the 2 free throws. So game goes into overtime. And in overtime, the Liberty was able to maintain, able to, you know, execute and do the things they needed to do. And in the end, they were able to prevail, guys. The final score, 67-62 in overtime. And guys, this was a game not for the faint of heart. A lot of missed shots, guys. A lot of missed shots. In fact, let's talk about the field goals. 37.1%, so above 37% for the Minnesota Lynx. The Liberty, 30.6% from the field. Wow. Ugh. Not good. Not good at all. And then from 3, both teams were misfiring, guys. You had, between both teams, only 5 three-point shots went in out of 42 attempts. So that tells you right there, ugly. So, but here's the difference in the game, guys. The fouls. Minnesota with 21 fouls, Liberty with 17 fouls called on them. Disparity at the free throw line, though. Liberty went 25 times to the line, guys, and made 21. The Minnesota Lynx only 8 times to the line, and they only missed 1 of those. So there you have the disparity there. So for the Liberty, Jonquel Jones, 17 points, crucial points, guys. along with 6 rebounds. Stewie, 13 points, ugly game from the field. She did have 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks. And how about Niera Sabali off the bench, guys? 13 points and 7 rebounds. A huge game from Sabali. And then also 13 points from her German countryman, Leonie Fiebisch. And she had 7 rebounds and 2 steals along with her 13 points. Sabrina Ionescu, an absolutely horrid game from the field. Only 5 points. 1 of 19 from the field. Good gracious. Man, that gives me flashbacks of John Starks in Game 7 in 1994. But I digress. She did add the 8 assists, the 7 rebounds, and the 2 steals. So, sure, she wasn't able to score like that, but she gave you other things as well. And that's what you want from a player. So I give her credit for that. On the Minnesota side, Nafisha Collier, 22 points with 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. She did foul out in that overtime. And you saw Spike Lee wave goodbye to her. I'm like, Spike, calm down, calm down. I mean, you just got into the Hall of Fame the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame as a fan, but calm your heels, please. I digress. Kayla McBride, 21 points for her, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 4 steals. A horrid game for Courtney Williams, just 4 points, guys, 2 of 14 from the field. And she did have 3 assists, 4 rebounds, 5 turnovers, though, guys. And then the rest of the team shot it only 6 of 20 from the field. So, you know, that's not going to get it done. So, you have Nafisha and Kayla shooting at 50% between them two. And then the rest of the team, 8-4-34. Not what you want, guys. That's for sure. So, with all that said and done, the Liberty wins their championship. And then in the post game, Cheryl Reeve, not a happy camper. She complained. She whined about the calls and so forth. The disparity at the free throw line. She talked about that as well. And basically saying they got robbed. So here's what I'll say to Cheryl Reeve. A coach I respect, a coach I think did a bang-up job with her team this year. Here's what I'll say. Well, where's that energy for game 4 when your team had the disparity at the free throw line, where you had the bailout call at the end? So did you have that energy there? Of course you didn't, because it helped your team. So I don't want to hear the whining. You only had 4. You only had 4 more fouls than the New York Liberty. The only thing is, you know, your fouls, you didn't drive to the basket and draw fouls. That's the way I see it at this point. You know, I know you want to say each time they're mugging Nafisha inside and so forth. That's up to the refs to call. Now, I'm not taking up for the refs because they've been horrible all year. They've been horrible in the playoffs. And dare I say, they've been horrible in the finals. So, I mean, it is what it is. People want to say, oh, the Liberty should thank the refs. I'm like, where's that energy for game 4? Where there was a disparity there. Where's that energy? So y'all can miss me with that. Y'all can miss me with that. So anyhow, I'm just going to leave it there. But the New York Liberty gets their first championship as a WNBA team. One of the last of the original NBA well, WNBA teams to get a championship. They were 0-4-6 up to this one. So New York Liberty gets it done, guys. Breonna Stewart, she gets her third championship. She got two with Seattle there. So Stewie came to New York for this sole purpose. I was texting friend of the show, D, who was, you know, we were texting back and forth about the game and so forth. And I told him, Breonna Stewart now is Mark Messier. For you people who need to Google that, Mark Messier came from the Edmonton Oilers, and he was traded to the New York Rangers, and his sole purpose was to bring a championship here. It took a few years, but they finished the mission. They got the championship, the elusive championship for the New York Rangers, a championship that they haven't matched since that 1994 season. But that's what I'll call Breonna Stewart. She's the Mark Messier of this team, bringing the championship forth here. Then you have Courtney Vandersloot, who had a tough year, guys. You know, she missed time on the court because her mom was ill, and eventually, unfortunately, her mom passed, so she missed time being with the family and all those things. And then, remember, she had the broken nose that she had to wear the face guard. So a tough year for Vandersloot. And then add on top of that, guys, the fact that coming into the playoffs and what Coach Cheryl Reeves said was the single most important move, roster move made, was replacing Vandersloot in the starting lineup with Leonie Fiebisch. And I concur that switch with the lineup really made a difference for the Liberty. But Vandersloot gets her second. Her first she got with Chicago when Candace Parker was there with Kalia Copper and Allie Quigley and that team over there. So she gets a second one. And then Jonquel Jones. Just think about her story, guys. Coming from the Bahamas, she left her country to come here. She lived with a couple of host families while she was here pursuing her dream of basketball. She went to a few colleges, Clemson, and then to George Washington. She comes into the WNBA. 8 seasons she's played now. 6 of those with the Connecticut Sun. And while with the Connecticut Sun, this is what she did, guys. Most improved player in 2017, 2018, sixth player of the year. 2021, she wins league MVP. She sits out the bubble year, 2020, but coming back that year, she gets the MVP award. Then 2 years later with the New York Liberty, she wins the Commissioner Cup's MVP in that game last year. And then this year, she was named Finals MVP, guys. I was so happy that she was able to get that. 5-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, 1 first team, 4 second team appearances on there. 4-time All-Defensive, and that's 2 years being on the first team, 2 years being on the second. So Jonquel Jones, a very full resume, and she now adds WNBA championship to that resume. So definitely big props to her. Sabrina Ionescu came here as the number one overall pick in 2020. She was robbed of an opportunity of winning a NCAA championship because they had shortened the season, so no tournament for the ladies. So she was robbed of that. She goes into the WNBA. 3 games into her season, she gets an ankle sprain and therefore doesn't play the rest of the season. Then you got to remember, guys, because you say ankle sprain, she probably could have came back sooner. But remember, there was all the issues at the hospitals and so forth with getting medical care. So they were unable to deal with the scar tissue from the ankle sprain. So that put her out for the season. So she comes back for 2021, has a very, might as well say, mediocre sophomore season. But they did add Banaji Laney to the lineup, so she had help in that regard. So her and Banaji's been playing together for the past 4 years. And then, of course, you have 2022. They bring in Sandy Brondello to come coach this team. First season there, they did make it to the playoffs, but a short stay in the playoffs. So 2023, that's where you had the big time moves, the trade for Jonquel, the signing of Breonna Stewart, the signing of Courtney Vandersloot. So you had that. And then add to the fact you have the German connection that played a big part in this series, guys. Leonie Fiebisch, a rookie who was drafted by the Los Angeles Sparks in 2020 in the bubble year, didn't come over from Germany. She thus gets traded to Chicago 2021. Then in this huge trade in 2023, actually it's an 8-team trade, New York gets the rights to Leonie Fiebisch, and they get those rights from Chicago. That was all part of that Marina Marbury trade that sent her to Chicago from Dallas. So the Liberty was part of that deal and got the rights to Fiebisch. Still didn't come over. And then come 2024, they gave her a training camp invite. Of course, she wows them. She stays on the roster. And I say outside of your big three of Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Rekia Jackson, and in some degrees also Aaliyah Edwards, I would say she's right up there with impact rookies, right behind those four ladies there. So Leonie Fiebisch, absolutely the key to the Liberty getting this championship, guys. And then Niara Sabali, who they drafted in 2022. She sat out her rookie season. She had the knee injury. And this season, she only played in 26 games, guys. Only 26 games. Didn't come to playoffs. She played sparingly. But she really played a big part in this victory as far as in the finals. She had a very impactful game 3 where she helped them get that victory. And then in game 5, I mean, she was absolutely incredible. So you have all that. And then, of course, Sandy Brondello winning championships with the Phoenix Mercury, winning 2 over there, and then coming over to New York to get them over the hump. She does that. So much props to Sandy Brondello. And again, the New York Liberty WNBA world champions. So big props to them and all they accomplished. What's next for the Minnesota Lynx, who had a fantastic year, guys? I think at any other year, you say definitely it's successful any way you slice it, guys. Absolutely successful year. They're free agents. They only have a couple guys. Myesha Hines Allen, she's a free agent for them, guys. Her, she got in a trade with Washington around midseason, around the trade deadline, actually. And then Natisha Heidelman, who they got as a, I think they got her in a trade. Yeah, they got her in a trade. So Natisha Heidelman. So both of those players, free agents. And then your big question is, who do you protect now if you are the Minnesota Lynx? The obvious choices are LaFisha Collier, Kayla McBride, Courtney Williams. I say you probably start your whole starting lineup, you'll protect them. Then you have to figure out who's the sixth player that you protect. And to me, it's out of these four players. Dorka Juhas, who was critical for them in game four, and she played well last season when they had kind of a hole in the middle. She played very well. Diamond Miller, their high lottery pick from a year ago. This season, though, she had the injuries there, and that kept her out, so she really couldn't get her footing when she got back healthy. So she's a player that could be dangled out there when it comes to expansion draft. Alyssa Peely, a player who hardly got off the bench, guys. I don't know, maybe they leave her exposed as well. If I were that Valkyrie team, Golden State team, if I see a Alyssa Peely out there, I'm snatching her up. She's that talented, guys. It's just that she's came to a team that had veterans ahead of her. And then Cecilia Sander-Lassini, who had a nice little game coming off the bench, nice little series coming off the bench for them. She's another one. Maybe they protect her since she got a lot of playing time as well. So I would keep an eye on who the Lynx protect in that regard. But kudos to them for a fine season, that's for sure. And then for the New York Liberty, Breonna Stewart, she's a free agent, guys. Then you have Courtney Vandersloot, who is 35 years old. So does she give it one more go? And if so, will it be here in New York? We'll see. Kennedy Burke, who was a substantial player for them coming off the bench. She didn't play much in these finals here, but she definitely was a vital piece coming off the bench. So you have her. Jalen Sherrod, who was the rookie coming out of college there. She's the exclusive rights free agent. So we'll see how it goes coming out of the University of Colorado, in fact. So we'll see if they are able to retain her. And then Ivana Dojkic, that's a exclusive right free agent also. So we'll see if she returns as well. Who to protect, guys? I say right off the top, if you talk about players that are signed, definitely Sabrina, Jonquel, Leonie Fibish. I think you'd be crazy if you didn't have her protected. Nyara Sabali, I think she did enough to definitely be considered a player you want to protect. Kayla Thornton, who's there, all everything coming off the bench. I think they protect her as well. My question is Banaji Laney-Hamilton, Queen Bee, who, listen, guys, I talked about her coming over. She had a tough year with her knee issues. It was a real bother to her, but she toughed it up, especially down the stretch, especially in the playoffs. And then she had that incredible game, too, for them, guys, a two-way player. Will she continue to go, given the issues with her knees? We'll see. But would the Liberty expose her in the expansion draft, hoping that no team would take a chance on her, given her knee issues. We'll see. And then their rookie, Marquisha Davis. Do they expose her? She's a promising player, guys. And she's somebody who I think would get run if she was to come back the following season. So we'll see in that regard. But again, the New York Liberty win the championship. They're having their parade on Thursday. Will I get over there? We'll see. But for all you guys to know, they're having their parade, the Canyon of Heroes and all that. So should be quite a fair out there on Thursday. All right. So a couple of things before I close. The Unrivaled League, that league that's Breonna Stewart and actually Nafisha Collier, they're starting up. They already got a TV deal with TNT, so you have that. They're paying players good money over there. So, and they tried to recruit Caitlin Clark, but Caitlin said, you know what? Let me stay away from the basketball court this offseason. And then in the regular season, I'll come back for the Indiana Fever. So listen here, I can't knock her for that. I understand that upstart league would love to have the likes of her to definitely promote it. But I mean, that rookie season was a lot on Caitlin between all that was happening on the court and all the talk and nonsense off it. I think she just wants a mental break from everything, and I can't blame her. So so go enjoy your summer, go play your golf, and we'll see you back in May or late April when training camp starts. So, and then there's Angel Reese, who was at game 5 watching the game. She had the dual jersey for both Breonna Stewart and for Nafisha Collier. So you know she has to represent both since they're both owners of the league, so she has to play nice. But she did a live, and she said basically that the WNBA doesn't pay her bills. And, you know, she talked about endorsement deals and so forth, you know. And, of course, me in front of the show, D was talking about this, and I'm like, you don't have to go there. You don't pay these knuckle draggers, these guys, these man boys locked in their grandma basement with Cheeto dust on their fingers. You don't have to pay these guys any mind. Just live your life. You're living your best life. You're getting your deals. You're working on different things. Do that. Don't pay these haters any mind. Just keep forging forward doing you. When you take time to do lives and talk about stuff like that, you're giving them power. So if I was in our corner, I'd say, yeah, ease up with that, you know, because you're giving the mouth breathers, you're giving them life, and you don't need to do that. So I digress. But yeah, that's what would be my advice to her. But she's out here doing her thing, so I can't knock her. But yeah, don't give these guys life. That's what they want, because Lord knows down in their grandma basement, nobody's paying them attention at all. So I'll leave it there. And then also, last thing before I close out, we do have coaching vacancies. We know about Teresa Weatherspoon getting a raw deal with Chicago. Kurt Miller leaving the LA Sparks. And I actually spoke about this one, guys. I spoke about the Atlanta coach, Tanisha Wright, being out. I pondered that because, you know, I looked at her resume. I'm like, yeah, the resume don't look all that good. You've been there 3 years. So she's out as a coach. And then Latricia Trammell for the Dallas Wings, she's out. I thought she might get a pass because of all the injuries the team amassed, but obviously the Dallas organization thought otherwise, so she's out. So you have 4 openings, guys. LA Sparks. Me and friend of the show, D, was talking about that. Why aren't they calling Lisa Leslie? Lisa Leslie's been coaching in the Big Three League. So, you know, she knows how to coach. Why not bring her in? I don't understand that. I don't get that. So, there you have somebody, a legacy player for the LA Sparks, who can come in there and coach up these ladies. I would love to see her coaching Cameron Brink. I would love to see that. So, I'm just saying. And then I think somebody who could get another bite at the apple is Katie Smith. She's an assistant coach for the Minnesota Lynx. She coached in New York for the Liberty. I think she got a raw deal here. I don't think she got much of a chance. So I think she could get another shot. Where would she go? If I was her, I would choose out of the jobs, the Dallas job. I would have her do the Dallas job. If you get Satu Sabally back, you already got Rika Ogunbowale there. You got some pieces there. So I think a Katie Smith would do wonders over there. She could do Atlanta too, I would imagine too. But I think Dallas would be a nice fit for Katie Smith if she were to come back. But yeah, so as far as the other coaching positions, I don't know where they're going to go, guys. I don't know where they're going to go as far as finding coaches and so forth, but those are a couple that just came to my mind. So, all right, so I'm going to leave it there. Of course, as always, all things basketball with GD is .com. That's the website. You know, there you can get me as far as all my episodes, videos, my support buttons, guys. Support this podcast. You know, I'm giving you this nice content, guys. About to do my NBA season preview shortly. Help a brother out. I got my support buttons there. Spotify button where you donate, that's there. Buy me a coffee is there. Also, I have my PayPal button there. And then Cash App, although I hear about Cash App being a little wonky these days, according to Roland Martin. He crowdfunds his show. So, yeah, Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, that's $GD, that sports dude. That's how you Cash App me, guys. And then all the podcast platforms I'm on, you can like my videos. You can review them on Apple. You can do reviews there. YouTube channel, guys. Like the videos when you see them. I got to go back to doing my shorts on YouTube. I've been kind of slacking in that department, but I'm going back to doing that. And then also, you can comment as well. Podcast platforms. And then socials. You know, I'm on all the places. I'm heavy on IG, heavy on TikTok with the shorts. I don't do X all that. It's just, I understand I get it. A lot of people like X. I don't, not these days. And then Facebook is kind of acting a little crazy. But I'll go back to at least throwing some shorts up and see what it does in that regard. All right, guys, so that is it. I thank you for listening as always. Again, NBA season preview. I have that coming. I'll do the Eastern Conference, Western Conference. You know how I get down. Thanks once again, guys. We'll talk soon. Take care.